Yeah, sorry, I apologize to everyone. Hold on, am I turning it on right, Bob? I gotta ask the man. Got it. Okay, so I'm gonna put this here. Hold on, I'm gonna do my stupid stuff and then I'm gonna get out of here.
Just saying
hello. Hi. Jimmy, are NASCAR are drivers athletes?
Absolutely.
How so?
I don't know why I have to defend it. Yeah, absolutely. NASCAR drivers and race car drivers. All race car drivers. Absolutely.
What special skills do you need to be a successful race car driver?
There are many that wouldn't understand the physicality of the car. So from a strength standpoint, then you certainly have the cardio standpoint, which is probably most common and applies to all forms of racing. But then hand-eye coordination, sense, feel, reaction time, you know, all the elements that make up a traditional athlete fit into the motorsport spectrum.
You train with many people like Lance Armstrong, different people like that. Are you guys similarly matched as athletes?
It depends on the discipline. When you get on a bike and I'm out with Lance, there's no way I'm keeping up. But we go on a run and, you know, run 10, 12 miles, I'm on pace and can run with him. So he definitely has a sweet spot. Then, you know, if we get into a car, which I can't ever talk him into, I think it would tilt my way pretty quickly. But, you know, even other runners, you know, different swimmers that I've been able to be in the pool with through my years of triathlon, Olympians and such, it just depends on the discipline. But, you know, was able to hold my own different disciplines with.
What's the fastest you've ever driven on an interstate?
It's not too fast. I think 105 before the speed limiter would kick in on my way to Las Vegas from San Diego.
Why do race car drivers not speed?
I just want to pass cars. Like, I don't necessarily need to go super fast, but being passed on the interstate or stuck in traffic drives me crazy.
I promise this is the last one. You, AJ Allmendinger, and Kyle Larson are the only guys who have driven in both the Daytona 500 and the Indy 500. Mm. What is the difference between the two races?
The race itself and the way the cars behave in the draft are so different. And I'm very interested to see what Ilya thinks you know, as he gets more experience on track. In an Indy car, the tow is just mind-blowing how much it helps the car pick up speed. In a tow in a stock car, all the energy comes from behind being pushed. So really just different dynamics.
Thank you. Sorry, guys. Thank you. Thank
good job, Jenna.
Jenna, we know your intensity as a driver has carried over to the team ownership side, and it's no secret from the results standpoint that Legacy hasn't been where I know you want it to be. What steps have you taken through the off season, and kind of where is your mindset as far as what you feel the team needs to take those steps forward?
Yeah, on the competition side, we have really restructured and reorganized the comp department, and you know, you don't have a choice, but we started kind of, I guess, late spring of 24 and started making changes and evolving and ultimately trying to recruit individuals, you know, to our company. And that process is tough on top of people that are available, on top of contracts and when they're going to you know, be free and able to come and work for us. It's so really kind of mid-November, maybe even the 1st of December, we had everyone in-house that we've recruited. And so there's been some various steps along the way with people coming in. I would say Jacob Canner was probably the earliest one to come in. And, you know, his presence and trying to put processes in place and organize the comp department, he at least got a head start on it. We're still playing catch-up. We're not totally where we want to be, but we've made a lot of massive steps forward. And so being able to go to the track now and find out where we sit is really, really important. But with that, we have two plate races and a road course. So we still have like a month before we can barely evaluate ourselves. It might look that way, but well, I guess maybe I'm reacting to cleaning house because it wasn't. I didn't clean Maury out in a sense. There's been a lot of just stuff going on, and certainly, you know, one of the worst parts I've experienced as an owner is termination, and trying to, you know, move on from an individual or a department or people, and then bring in new. I'm not sure I'll ever get comfortable with that. So that's been tough, and went through a lot of that during the course of the season. I was really surprised when I spoke to Maury towards the end of last year that he was just in a different place in life and didn't want so much the day-to-day and wanted to give me that opportunity. And he, you know, just wants to come and eat a hot dog and hang out and have his headphones on and really enjoy it from a fan perspective and supporting us. So, you know, a lot has certainly happened, and the offseason's been very busy as a result. Talk for hours. I'm learning my way. I'm trying to surround myself with people that have deep experience in our sport and deep business experience, legal experience, everything I can to make sure that we're smart and taking the right steps. But there's a lot in play. And even with all of the stuff that might seem negative in some respect, I still think our sport is the strongest it's been in a long time. And as we went out to find a private equity partner and landed Knighthead Capital, the excitement from PE groups and looking at NASCAR and the excitement around live sports, there's a lot here. And hopefully we can work through these different issues and get the, you know, the drag on our sports trajectory up out of it and continue to climb, and it'll be good for everybody. It is nice to get back in the car, but I find, especially last year, to be prepped and ready like I need to, I just didn't have the time. And there's so much to focus on and work through, and we're trying to recruit, build. We had the recruitment of Knighthead Capital and everything that went with it. I just couldn't be as prepared as I wanted to. And Daytona is different. There's very little driver prep required. So I am relieved to have that. I'm relieved to have that aspect, but I honestly think, at least in the short term, I just need to run less races as a result. It is, there's more work for me to do on a race weekend with partners, prospects, crew members, our drivers, our crew chiefs, than the advantage of us running a third car all the time, especially the 9 races last year. And so this year we have 2. I'm not sure what next year would look like. I know I'll at least be in this race next year. But we'll see how we evolve as a company and if it does make sense. So I feel like I'm going to have to chase my desire to drive the car, because that is still very much there through IMSA or sports car racing or some classic car racing as we move forward here. I can't tell. That practice session, as much as I was excited to have it, there was so much interference with drafting and other cars. We can't tell who had clean laps and didn't. But I know our cars are much faster than they were last year, so I'm hopeful we're there. We really didn't know about it until the rule came out. Evidently, it was buried in the charter agreement that was pushed out. But when the rule came out, you know, I forget the time in the morning it came out. Like 3 minutes later, we were on the phone with NASCAR and recognized that it wasn't within the 90-day window and that we weren't eligible. And so we've had a lot of talks with everyone at NASCAR, and I have a better understanding of the intent of the rule. And I would anticipate some changes following here to better define and clarify that. But first read, first understanding, our reaction wasn't great, but you know, it is what it is, and hopefully we have a fast enough car to get us in. Initially, yes. As I spoke to Jim France when I was down here for the Rolex 24 and understand the intent behind it, I now understand what he was trying to do. Maybe the words didn't come out correctly in the charter agreement or the interactions following that, but I really do believe in having a chance to bring in, you know, a Formula One driver, an IndyCar driver, whoever it might be, and that it does take time to find a team to run them, find the partnership to do it, to really exploit that opportunity. I think it's good for our sport. Just the delivery was a bit tricky this time around, and I think they'll get it cleaned up. Well, now that he's locked in, I would talk to him, but before knowing that, I would have lied to him.
Well, he can still not.
I was hopeful they were going to fix it. I guess that's still possible.
Yeah.
So they, it should just be 41 cars instead of 40 cars. That part I thought they were gonna adjust, but I guess not.
How stressful does that make today or tomorrow?
It's awful. What I went through last year to get in, you know, I wasn't until a half mile from the end of the duel. God, I hope I don't have to go through that again.
This is the first time since 96 there's been no major NASCAR event in Southern California. How important is the Southern California, Los Angeles, San Diego market to the sport, and how do you get back in there?
Growing up there and having Riverside end in the mid-80s, you know, it was detrimental to fans out there. I would love for it to happen, and you know, I've kind of lost touch of Southern California, living on the East Coast for so many years now, but there's a massive fan base, you know, a ton of racers in that, you know, area of the country, and hopefully we can figure something out there.
I mean, if you were to grow up there now, would you have had the background to be as successful as you were when you were growing up in Elko?
The off-road industry is thriving again. I mean, my avenue is motocross to off-road. Chevrolet spotted me and brought me east. And there's still a lot of that still intact. And I think that you have the manufacturers, and I know Toyota's program and how far and wide they look to find young talent. Not that it's any easier. It's probably just different. But I think young drivers are being spotted across the country these days and at least showing up on the radar of the OEMs.
How about this budding podcast career that you started?
Yeah. Marty and I, as you know, have been great friends for a long time, and it really makes sense. Makes sense for us in where we are in life, and then I think it should afford us some other opportunities, and I think the media landscape is quite interesting, and there are other opportunities within that. And as I try to build, you know, a broad business that just doesn't solely rely on on-track activity. You know, the more off-paint opportunities we have, the other business offshoots that we can create from Legacy, I think the stronger we'll be as a company.
How do you fit it all into your schedule?
I have not figured that out yet. And with my family still in England until school session's out, really since October last year when this opportunity popped up to advance my position in the team, I haven't been there much. It's really been here, and that part's not easy. But knowing that it's going to come to an end once the school session is out, that's nice. But I'm trying to manage it.
Is it weekly or the podcast?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, the podcast will be weekly. Yes. Yeah. And the All-Star event Sunday after the NASCAR event, TNT and Fox are collaborating and working together, and you know, there's planned interaction back and forth. And of course, we would love to have Shaq here, but I think from eyeballs and exposure, this will have more reach because you have the two networks and different fan bases and should be really, really good. So if we're not in the show, that's definitely going to sting.
Can you qualify as an influencer?
No, I'm really excited for him, but I have a sniper in the grandstands that's going to shoot a tire out when the car leaves pit lane, so we're good. No, I am really, really thrilled for him. I know that having a car in the Cup Series is really, it's, you know, special and important for him, for his sister, you know, their families, and part of their evolution as an organization, and hopefully this is the start of many good things for him.
You've driven multiple variations of the Cup car, obviously, in the past when you came along handling premium. Usually with this current car, it's not much in the case, even if the track surface is slowly aging over time?
Handling still matters here. It's changed a bit because there's so much parity, and the rule book is so thick that it's bunched everyone up. But it still does require a lot of handling, and ultimately, you make the car faster when you sacrifice handling. And we're just too dumb, and we always want more speed in the cars, so we trim them out and we lower them and bounce off of bump stops and create handling issues as a result. ultimately, though, tire wear, before they repave this track, you know, the tire wear was quite high, and we're not back there yet. I'm excited for the day that we are, and you can bring a fair amount of more driving back into it and even some setup options, but I don't think we're quite there yet.
Jimmy, you talked earlier about the business restructuring, but your driver lineup is the same. From your perspective, what do Eric and John Hunter bring to the team that, you know, has benefited, and what do you see as their strengths?
Yeah, Eric is that steady, calm, consistent thing for us. And, you know, I personally, I know our company as well. Eric's been so patient with the organization, going through multiple ownership changes and a lot of promises about making things better. And, you know, we feel a deep obligation to him to get it right. With John Hunter coming up through the Toyota system and our deep relationship with Toyota, you know, we're thrilled to have him back. And as far as he is concerned, you know, his first year with us last year, you know, we didn't have our act together and have a deep obligation to John Hunter. But we did switch up the crew chief arrangement. And last year, with 10 or so races to go, we had a conversation around, let's just try. Like, we're not where we want to be. Let's try. And it was tough for John Hunter to separate from Ben because of their great relationship. But he's had an open mind to what's best for the company. And Eric and Ben got off to a decent start there. And with Travis Mack coming on and the energy he brings to the program, you know, we do have a little different lineup in that respect and some of the engineering below that. But, you know, everybody's had a really productive off season, and as we roll into to racing, we'll see how those pairings work out.
What did you think of Shaq's bigger-than-life personality?
Not only his personality, but in person.
Yeah.
Like, that's a big dude.
Yeah.
He's awesome. He has such a unique way to interact with people. You initially think that, or you're initially intimidated, maybe not think, you're initially intimidated by his size and the presence he brings to a room. But as he works the room, you just see how big of a heart he has, and there's countless stories of his generosity. And as we shot the piece that you guys have seen, the auditorium was full of some high school basketball athletes. And I thought he knew the team, but he spent throughout the day, every break we had, he was engaged with those students talking about their basketball game. And towards the end, I asked him if he knew him because he was in such deep conversation. He's like, nah, I just want to help these kids.
Plus,
so that was amazing.
Class DJ.
I saw him. I actually sat through his whole set in at the Super Bowl on Friday night, and he made it look easy. So I felt like maybe I should give it a try. Maybe he'll let me up there with him. Yeah, that's hard to say, but his excitement around this program and his request of having Reebok on the car and a reference or two to MJ and that Air Jordan thing, I was like, huh. So we're trying to feed that monster and see what comes of it.
Yeah.
But he has been a longtime NASCAR racing fan, and his interest in the sport is there. So, you know, it's hard to say, but gosh, we hope so. We hope we're the team. I would consider a few more. The time it takes to be prepared and to do it right is something that I kind of overlooked last year running the 9 races that I did. And, you know, I've been living out of the country. It's just been an opportunity for me and my family to live abroad. And as a minority owner of the team, it was easier to do. Not that it was ever easy. And now with my new position, it's becoming much harder. So staying focused on the growth of the team, on our partners, our prospects, our OEM, management, drivers, it's really tough to give the driving piece the time it needs right now. Figure it out. Figure it out.
Had some opportunities to run the Daytona 500, but obviously it's different every time you try to do it. What feels different, or what I guess, how do you view
trying to qualify in that uncertainty is new. I guess I had it my first time here in 2002. I mean, there's, especially this year, cars trying to get in on speed all have an affiliation with a big team. And I would imagine everybody's trying really hard to put their best stuff on those cars. You know, RCR with the 62 and Hendrick with the 40. Yeah. Our car, Gibbs has an interest. And that's one thing on speed. But then when you look at the duels and how we're split up, you know, if you're in a duel without your teammates, then you have to look to the OEM. And if I'm in a duel without my teammates and all the Gibbs cars and Martin's in that race, I know they're going to push Martin. So, you know, it's a wild scenario. And hopefully we cure all that by being in the top two tonight. But, you know, every year has its own challenge. And for us, where I am now, it's just getting in the race. In years past, it was about the race and how are we going to win. Of course, we're here to do all of that, but we haven't even thought about it yet. Everything's been about getting in the race.
From your perspective, is there a responsibility for the other OEM partners to help you out if you guys are in the duel together? Is there an expectation that exists within that?
There are discussions around the race, the 500 itself, but I haven't heard anything, so I would imagine, at least on our side with Toyota, you know, the expectations, of course, work with other Toyotas, but they recognize the situation. And maybe after tonight, we'll have more of a strategy that comes into play once we know the duels that everyone's in. But, man, I hope I'm not in the same duel with the 56.
So, Jimmy, when you came in and rose to stardom, there was a lot of real high-profile drivers, and there's some still. But what's it going to take? You mentioned the parity of the car. I mean, does that make it hard for someone to kind of emerge and stand out and kind of capture the imagination of the viewing public, like, oh, here's a guy who's dominating? Is that part of it, or what do you think it's going to kind of take?
Yeah, I think that the rivalries that existed, and you usually had two or three really big names and successful names that would create those rivalries, and maybe a Dale Earnhardt on the back side of his career and a Jeff Gordon on the front side of his career. You know, those elements were just those unicorn moments that helped the sport grow. On top of the timing that took place in the late 90s, early 2000s. So I hope that we can recreate that. But I do think parity, you know, there are unintended consequences that happen. You know, the parity has allowed me to come in as an owner, and the affordability has allowed me to come in as an owner, but maybe it's kept one of the bigger teams from pulling away and making a household name out of someone. So, and it's hard to blame it just on one thing, but I think that's part of the conversation.
What did Jeff Gordon kind of do for the sport? I mean, he took it a different place, didn't he?
He really did. Through my lens as a West Coast guy, he gave me hope that NASCAR was looking west. And the fact that he grew up racing on the dirt really, you know, helped me out in my cause. And the door that Jeff opened, you know, helped Tony Stewart and myself and Casey Kane, ultimately Kyle Larson. So, you know, that lens, I was very thankful he blazed the trail for us. But you had this juxtaposition where Dale Earnhardt Sr., the Southerner, and then the California kid coming along. It really hit, you know, not only the middle of the country, but it kind of hit at least one of the coasts, and it just brought in so much more interest. And they were so different that that was interesting to watch. And then Dale roughing people up, as he always does, made it fun as well. So I think it was just one of those perfect storms that worked out amazing for the sport.
One last one, Denny. What makes him so good here? Has it just been rabbit's foot luck in some of these races, or is there something about just his style and kind of calm that allows him to succeed here?
Luck plays a role, but when you are as consistently competitive in plate races, it's not luck. Denny's a gambling man, and I think his headspace and wiring and how to look at the odds in the race, you know, it just fits into his DNA. And he does a great job, obviously, in the draft and playing the odds or enjoying the risk. You know, risk at all moments when they matter and understanding when to do that. I don't exactly know what it is, but there are plenty of parallels to sitting at a blackjack table or at a poker table that I think come into play there.
Thank you.
Good seeing you. Yep. Fair that Elio Castroneves is automatically in this race as provisional, yet you, a seven-time champion, still have to race your way into this race?
I don't necessarily have a problem with that, and it took some clarification and talking with NASCAR to get that. The part I have a problem with is why that provisional will take up one of the 40 spots. It should be a 41st starting position. So waived his points, waived the cash that can come with winning the race. Start him at the back of the field, or maybe let him have a spot in the field, but don't let that take away from the other cars that are trying to qualify their way in. That would be the twist that I would like to see change in the future.
And kind of building off of that a little bit, you just spent some time over on the IndyCar side of things with guys like Elio coming into the sport more often. Is there somebody over there that you thought during your time over there that you saw that you thought he could come over here and be successful in NASCAR?
It's hard to say. I mean, those guys are all fearless after spending time with them and doing the 500. You know, the way those cars perform is by picking up a toe, and you set up all of your offensive moves by the car in front of you. In Cup, that's the smallest part of it. It's really not a part of the equation. It's how you ride the brakes, how you use the cars behind you to generate the energy. And so it's really tough to kind of think of who would figure that out and be able to sense and see that. But you go back through the last four or five winners, and they're all young guys and brave. I'd take any of them, throw them in, and give them a shot. But it would take some time to understand that piece. And I think Elio's perfect because he's run here in IROC, and he's been in IROC, so he understands the shape of the cars and how that works.
You talked about growth and progress earlier. You mentioned Travis. How have you seen him grow from the organization at the time you had, knowing that he used to be part of Rick Hendrick before he went to junior and then obviously with Trackhouse previously?
I grew up with Travis in the Hendrick system, and we won a lot of championships together, and he was at HMS during all those years that I won. Great bond and relationship. I know how he thinks, and I know how hungry he is. And I know the system he grew up in and really fighting hard for every detail, and that's really what we need in our shop. And then you pair him with John Hunter, young guy, very outgoing. I think their personalities work really well together. So I have really high hopes for the pairing and really think a lot of Travis and know he's going to be a great fit for us.
Jimmy, in light of Carl Edwards just being inducted in the Hall of Fame, of all the drivers that took you deep into the season for a championship, where does he rank among those in terms of how much of a fight he gave you for the title?
I'm trying to remember the year, but man, we made it all the way to Atlanta. Yeah. And then also, I guess, in 13, he had that race won and had a massive wreck. And that was the last time we've seen him in a car. So there were, I'm sorry, 16, not 18, 16. Yes, yes, you're right.
That's true, yeah. He took you two times.
Twice. The thing with Carl, you're never going to shake him. If the team had their act together and the car had speed, you could never count Carl out. Like, he didn't make many mistakes. Loved being right up on the edge and could manage it and had, you know, the physicality to manage it and then also the headspace to manage it. I mean, he's just was a fierce, fierce competitor. So the years we went deep with him, we really had to have our act together. And the one I'm thinking of in Atlanta might have been 08. He had a super, super successful day. Won the race, was up front all day long, and there was a late race caution where we came in and put tires on. And I'll never forget his interview. He's doing his winner's circle interview, thinking that he passed us in points or something. And he looks at the scoring pylon, and I think I finished second or third, and I'd been 15th all day. And he's like, "What? How? What happened?" So, I can't remember the year. I think it might be 08, but that one, I always get a chuckle out of.
You're coming into Daytona, obviously, as a former Daytona 500 champion. Does the drive and desire to win the Daytona 500 change? You've already won the race before. Is it any greater or lesser?
It's greater. When you experience that, you want another hit of that. That's that is the stuff. It is such an experience. Yep.